Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, November 23rd, 2021. Coming up this hour.
Rate hike expectations grow after President Biden renominates Jay Powell as Fed chair.
Oil drops as talks pick up for a coordinated global release of strategic reserves.
And shares of Zoom slide as workers make their way back into the office.
The suspected driver of the SUV that plowed into a parade will be in a Wisconsin court. Plus, Trump ally Roger Stone has been subpoenaed in the Capitol riot probe. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Giants were beaten soundly by the Bucks in Tampa Bay. The Nets won in Cleveland.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon, data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice.
And John, futures are moving lower this morning. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 4 points. Dow futures up, but by 6. NASDAQ futures are lower by 52 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 3/32, the yield 1.63%. NYMEX crude down 1.2% or 90 cents at $75.86 a barrel. John?
And Nathan, we begin with the Federal Reserve and reaction still pouring in to President Biden renominating Jay Powell for a second term as chair.
When our country was hemorrhaging jobs last year and there was panic in our financial markets, Jay's steady and decisive leadership helped to stabilize markets and put our economy on track to a robust recovery.
President Biden also nominated Lyle Brainard as vice chair of the Fed. Analysts say the two choices will help the president avoid a contentious confirmation battle in the Senate. We spoke with White House National Economic Council Director Brian Deese.
We're confident that both Jay Powell and Lyle Brainard will be confirmed, and also that we're going to work with supporters and detractors alike, particularly as we look to this next set of nominees that the president has to make.
White House advisor Brian Deese says the president will name other picks for the Fed in the next few weeks. Meantime, Democrats like Virginia Senator Mark Warner are praising the picks.
In Jay Powell, we not only have continuity, we have someone that the markets are comfortable with. We have someone that both Democrats and Republicans alike respect. I think he will be overwhelmingly reconfirmed as chair. And in Lyle Brainard, as one of the vice chairs, again, we've got a known quantity, very, very strong credentials on the Democratic side. I think it's a great 1-2 punch.
Both Senator Warner and Brian Deese spoke with our Washington correspondent Joe Matthew on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
And the focus now turns to inflation and monetary policy. Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic says the central bank may need to speed up tapering in response to strong employment gains and surging inflation.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the market. Inflation is at a very high level. And I think it's important that if we need to be moving interest rates, that we get the taper out of the way first. So a faster taper would certainly give us more optionality as we move into 2022 and see sort of where the data takes us.
Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic made the comments in an interview with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes, saying he'd be comfortable ending the taper by April.
Well, meantime, John, traders are adding to bets on future rate hikes from the Fed. Markets are now pricing in almost 325 basis point increases by December of next year. That's up 15 basis points from just 3 weeks ago.
And the White House remains laser focused on the economy, especially inflation. Up next, President Biden delivers a speech on that matter. That's this afternoon. Let's get a preview from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
Most Americans experience inflation at the gas pump and in the supermarket. Facing declining poll numbers, President Biden is going to attack the first by announcing the U.S., along with other countries, will release oil from their strategic petroleum reserves. That should push down on gas prices, but only for a short time. And OPEC has already threatened to retaliate by cutting supplies further. That leaves the Fed as the last best defense against inflation. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Let's get more on oil prices. Now, right now, Brent is trading lower by 66 cents at $79.03 a barrel, while West Texas Intermediate's down 94 cents at $75.81. This is all ahead of the possible release of those strategic reserves. Let's get the latest on that live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. This would be an unprecedented effort by countries to cool prices. The U.S. could announce a release of oil reserves as soon as today, and India is said to be planning a 5 million barrel release from its stockpiles. There are also signs that Japan, South Korea, and potentially China could join the effort. Meantime, on the production side, OPEC says the move is unjustified under current market conditions. The group says it may reconsider plans to add more oil when delegates meet next week. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Renita. Turning to corporate news this morning, we're seeing shares of Zoom Video Communications down around 8% in early trading. The company says its video platform is still in demand, but the rate of growth is slowing. More from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
Zoom gave a sales forecast for the current quarter above estimates. Even so, there are concerns about a slowdown in the number of large clients signing on to use the platform. The market has been monitoring to see whether Zoom's online meeting platform remains in wide use, and Zoom faces rising competition from companies like Microsoft and Google. Zoom shares are down nearly 30% this year. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thanks. Changing gears just a bit, let's talk Thanksgiving dinner. We are, of course, just 2 days away from the holiday, and one of your favorite dinner trimmings may be in short supply. Ocean Spray CEO Tom Hayes tells us there is a shortage of cans used to transport cranberry products.
Consumers are really excited about the iconic cranberry jellied sauce with the ridges from the can. They love to open that up and slice it for their family members. But, you know, they could be maybe in a situation where they got to pick up a whole berry or they have to make cranberry sauce from fresh cranberries.
Make your ridges yourself, maybe. Ocean Spray CEO Tom Hayes speaking there on Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Tim Stenovec. You can catch that program weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures down 6 points now. Dow futures have turned lower, down 16, and NASDAQ futures down 57. Local headlines and a check of sports just ahead. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Nathan. 607 on Wall Street. And let's bring in Michael Barr now to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. The suspected driver of the SUV that plowed into a crowd of holiday parade marchers in Waukesha, Wisconsin, killing at least five and wounding more than 40 others, is due in court today. 39-year-old Daryl Brooks is charged with five counts of first-degree intentional homicide. Last night, a vigil was held for the victims. Board of Education Vice President Amanda Medina Roddy.
We are hurting. We are angry. We are sad. We are confused. We are thankful. We are all in this together. We are Waukesha strong.
Along with Roddy, Mayor Sean Riley also spoke, saying this is a small step toward healing. Attorneys made a final push to persuade the jury in the killing of Ahmaud Arbery, the 25-year-old black man who was fatally shot last year while running in Georgia. Closing arguments are to resume this morning for the three white men charged in Aubrey's death. A committee investigating the January 6th U.S. Capitol riot has issued subpoenas to five more individuals, including former President Donald Trump's ally, Roger Stone, and conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. Lori Levinson is a former federal prosecutor and a professor at Loyola Law School.
Another thing that the committee will look into is the fact that Roger Stone seems to have very close ties with people of far-right groups like the Oath Keepers, who have been his personal security guards. So that might be one way that he knew ahead of time what was planned for the attack on the Capitol.
Professor Levinson says the subpoenas include demands for documents and testimony from Stone and Jones, as well as three people accused of organizing and promoting the rallies that preceded the Capitol riot. Police say the daughter of Malcolm X was found dead in her Brooklyn home. Malik Shabazz was found dead just before 5 p.m. Shabazz, who was 56, was discovered by her own daughter. A police official says the death does not appear to be suspicious. Shabazz's death comes just days after two men convicted of her father's 1965 assassination were exonerated. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. And it's now 6:09 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. Another long NFL season in New York. In the AFC, no team has a worse record than the Jets. And in the NFC, only the winless Lions are worse than the Giants. Tampa Bay looked like the defending Super Bowl champs, scored the last 20 points, forced three giant turnovers in the second half, ended a two-game losing streak 30-10. The Bucs had 28 first downs, over 400 yards of offense. Tom Brady threw for more than 300. And Tampa Bay is 7-3, and the Giants are 3-7. Their coach, Joe Judge.
We didn't do anything really well enough to win the game tonight. Can't make mistakes with turnovers, penalties, and mental errors. We've got to make sure we put our players in a better position through coaching. We've got to make sure we actually have the opportunity to make plays. And that being said, you know, our folks will shift to Philadelphia. We have a six-day week turnaround for division opponent. We'll begin immediately tomorrow, you know, getting ready for the next opponent. But we're not going to turn the page on this as coaches until we make sure all the corrections are made.
And Giants fans have circled Sunday's game with Philadelphia, whose season-ending loss last year cost the Giants the division. But Philly played much better than the Giants. Eagles have won three of the last four. Nets have won 11 of 13 in Cleveland, down 11 at the half. They beat the Cavs 117-112. Kevin Durant scored 27. LaMarcus Aldridge added 21. Knicks and Lakers tonight at the Garden, and no LeBron James. Suspended for the first time in his career, LeBron threw an elbow in the face of Detroit's Isaiah Stewart, whose retaliation led to a two-game suspension. College hoops, Seton Hall playing in Fort Myers, Florida, lost to Ohio State 72-69. Buckeyes won it on a three-pointer with 2 seconds left. Rutgers lost at home to previously winless Lafayette 53-51. Big game tonight, Gonzaga, UCLA. They're ranked 1-2 in the country. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks a lot, John. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures right now are lower. They've been fluctuating all morning long. The Dow futures now down 46 points, a decline of 0.1%. S&P futures, 10 points lower. That's down 0.2. And the NASDAQ futures, 79 points lower. That is down 0.5%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. A Daybreak being brought to you by Audi. Reflect on the past, celebrate the future during this season of Audi. Drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your tri-state area Audi dealer today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are signaling a sell-off in tech. Shares may continue. Treasury yields are jumping as traders prune bets for a dovish-for-longer Fed, with Jay Powell renominated as chair. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are now down almost 9 points. Dow futures down 35. NASDAQ futures down 74. The 10-year Treasury is down 2/32 with a yield 1.63%. We're coming up to 6:18 on Wall Street. That's time for your daily Bloomberg crypto update, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions just 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. And now with the latest in crypto news, here's Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Right now, Bitcoin is trading around 56,000. It's recovered some of the losses over the past few days, and Ethereum and Litecoin are also higher. Football star Odell Beckham Jr. says he'll accept his new salary from the LA Rams in Bitcoin. He's the latest high-profile athlete to signal enthusiasm for cryptocurrencies. He says it's part of an arrangement with the Square-backed mobile payment service Cash App, and he's giving away $1 million worth of Bitcoin to fans on his Twitter account. Now, earlier this month, Green Bay Packers star Aaron Rodgers announced a similar partnership with Cash App, saying he'd receive part of his salary in Bitcoin. Meantime, the U.S. is pursuing a British man over charges tied to cryptocurrencies. The government says he helped hijack an American citizen's identity to steal $8.5 million in crypto assets. Prosecutors say Corey DeRose is accused of helping hack into the man's crypto wallet and transferring the digital currency to himself and his alleged co-conspirators back in 2017. And that's your Bloomberg Crypto Report. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak. Nathan?
All right, Renita, thanks. That's Bloomberg Business Flash. Here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Nathan, thank you very much. Police say the suspect in a deadly Christmas parade crash in suburban Milwaukee was in a domestic disturbance just minutes before he killed five people and injured 48 others. Authorities say 39-year-old Daryl Brooks would be in court today. Monday Night Football, the Bucks trounced the Giants 30-10. LeBron James suspended for a game because of the dust-up in in Detroit. Means James won't play tonight against the Knicks. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts. More than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 620 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm John Tucker. Jay Powell is set to serve a second term as chair of the Federal Reserve. Lael Brainard has been nominated as the vice chair. And with that out of the way, let's look to policy now. In a conversation with Raphael Bostic, the Atlanta Fed president sat down for an interview with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes to discuss the economy, Fed policy, and inflation. Let's listen into that conversation right now.
A few of your Fed colleagues just in the past week have either said they are certain that the Fed needs to speed up the pace of the bond taper or at least talk about it seriously. How about you, Raphael?
Well, I think there are good arguments to be made that we really should be considering how fast we execute the taper. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty in the market. Inflation is at a very high level. And I think it's important that if we need to be moving interest rates, that we get the taper out of the way first. So a faster taper would certainly give us more optionality as we move into 2022 and see sort of where the data takes us. So I definitely think it's appropriate for us to be talking about the pace of tapering and being open to a faster one.
Well, the next meeting, what, December 14, 15, are you inclined to say, gee, you want to be talking about and maybe be even in favor of finishing the taper, say, by the end of the first quarter instead of waiting till into the summer?
Well, that timing I would be comfortable with, given the way the data has come in recently. But we, as you noted, we'll have some more data that comes in that gives us a sense of what's happening, both in terms of job creation and in terms of inflation, that will give me a sense of whether the volatility we've seen in labor market reports over the last couple of months are really real, and also whether the heightened inflation that we've seen is likely to persist. My sense is that on the inflation side, the numbers are still going to come in strong. And if the employment numbers come in equally strong, I think that the case would be much stronger for a faster taper. But again, we'll have to see sort of where that plays out.
Rate liftoff in 2022. Raphael, you have your dot in that part of the chart already. At the December meeting, all of you will be revising your forecast. You do it every 3 months, and that's where you have a chance to change your dot plots. Are you thinking about possibly adding another 2022 rate hike dot to the dot you've already got there?
Well, you know, going into every SEP submission where we do the dot plots, I try to be open to moving in both directions. And so certainly I'm open for pulling forward another rate increase if that is appropriate. But I'm also open to the notion that we may have to push these things back depending on how things play out. Now, I've been in the position of thinking that a rate increase in 2022 for liftoff was going to be appropriate for several months now because given where my forecasts have been through the pandemic, the economy has just performed a lot stronger and been much more resilient than I had projected, which meant that my initial conceptions of when we would be at a point where a liftoff would be appropriate were much further out than they are right now. So the economy continues to perform strong, and we'll just have to see as I talk with my team in Atlanta and get their various perspectives and input as to where my dot plots will wind up. But the first one I will still have in 2022, for sure, and we'll just have to see where the second one goes.
You talked a lot about supply chains as one of the reasons you're getting a lot more worried about inflation. What do you see going on with the global supply chain constraints now? How long are they going to last?
Well, you know, it's something that we ask our business contacts across the Southeast, the Sixth District, all the time. And, you know, we do some regional surveys. We do national surveys as well. And in every instance, what they are telling us is that they're not expecting these supply chain challenges to resolve before the summer of 2022, and some are even saying as long as 2023. So as long as that's the case, there is, I think, going to be continued increased inflationary pressure, and we're going to have to be mindful about whether the extended nature of that pressure is going to result in businesses changing their business models and in consumers changing how they think about participating in our economy.
That's Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic speaking with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes. You can catch more of that interview online at Bloomberg.com. Ahead of the cash open, Dow futures down 28, S&P futures down 8, the NASDAQ futures 71 points lower. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg weather for today from Rob Carolyn, a freeze warning in effect through 8 o'clock this morning. It'll be partly to mostly sunny, the high temperature 40 to 45 degrees. This is Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stock futures are lower, yields moving higher this Tuesday morning. Traders are boosting bets on rate hikes from the Fed after President Biden reappointed Jay Powell as chair. With that out of the way, Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic says the central bank can focus on policy.
This decision really does take some uncertainty out of the Federal Reserve as an issue. And I think that's helpful for all of us. It means that we will be able to spend 100% of our attention and focus on really trying to discern what's happening in the economy.
Atlanta Fed President Rafael Bostic tells us the central bank may need to speed up plans to taper asset purchases thanks to strong employment gains and surging inflation.
In fact, traders adding to bets on future rate hikes from the Federal Reserve. Markets are now pricing in almost 325 basis point increases by December of next year. That's up 15 basis points from just 3 weeks ago.
No doubt about it, John. Inflation and the economy remain in focus today as President Biden delivers a speech on those topics. You can catch his remarks live on Bloomberg Radio and Television coming up at 2 p.m. Wall Street time.
And you can't talk about inflation without talking about oil. Crude is trading lower again today. We have Brent crude, the international benchmark, down 55 cents a barrel at 79.15. NYMEX crude, 87 cents lower at 75.88. The move comes as the White House and governments around the world make plans to release strategic oil reserves. Let's get the latest now live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, John. This would be an unprecedented effort by countries to cool prices. The U.S. could announce a release of oil reserves today, and India is said to be planning a 5 million barrel release from its stockpiles. There are also signs that Japan, South Korea, and potentially China could join the effort. Meantime, on the production side, OPEC says the move is unjustified under current market conditions. The group says it may reconsider plans to add more oil when delegates meet next week. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. In corporate news this morning, we're watching shares of Zoom fall more than 8.5% in early trading. That's after the company reported slower sales growth last quarter, with more people coming back into the office. Zoom added fewer large clients than expected as well. The company has seen its stock slide nearly 30% this year. S&P futures are down 5.5 points now. Dow futures down 6. NASDAQ futures lower by 64 points. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.63%. Local headlines and a check of sports next. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Nathan. 6:33 on Wall Street. And let's bring in Michael Barr now to tell us what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. Residents, officials, and faith leaders gathered at a park in Waukesha, Wisconsin last night for a candlelight vigil, a day after an SUV driver rammed through the city's Christmas parade, killing five and injuring dozens others. Mayor Sean Riley.
Tonight, we take a small first step towards healing because we know we need to lift up those who are in so much pain.
Mayor Sean Riley. Meanwhile, Waukesha police are preparing five charges of intentional homicide against 39-year-old Daryl Brooks of Milwaukee. He will make a court appearance today. In Georgia, the trial of three white men charged with killing Ahmaud Arbery could soon be in the hands of the jury. Prosecutors plan to wrap up their closing arguments to jurors today. The defendants say that they were trying to conduct a citizen's arrest because they suspected Arbery, who was black, of robbery, and they shot Arbery in self-defense. Ahmaud Arbery's father, Marcus Arbery.
Tried to just make him look like he was so bad when he wasn't. You know, he didn't do nothing wrong. Ain't no laws he broke. And the way they keep talking about burglary, wasn't never no burglary. You know, they're just bad.
Prosecutors say a citizen's arrest was not permitted because the defendants, who were the aggressors, never witnessed a crime, which means self-defense does not apply. Jurors will begin their third day of deliberations in the trial of white nationalists accused of conspiring to commit racially motivated violence at the deadly Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville in 2017. Nine plaintiffs are seeking punitive damages for physical and emotional injuries. The Select House Committee investigating the January riot at the U.S. Capitol has issued new subpoenas, including for longtime Trump confidant Roger Stone and conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. Lori Levinson is a former federal prosecutor and a professor at Loyola Law School.
The committee is bringing in people that they believe might have known that there was going to be a Capitol attack, might have been involved in helping to plan it, and might be able to tie this to more people who were present in the White House when it occurred.
Professor Levinson says three other reported organizers will also receive subpoenas. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. John?
Michael, thank you. 6:36 on Wall Street, and it's time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Once again, here's John Stanchauer.
Thanks, John. The Giants have had some narrow losses both this season and last year when they nearly upset Tampa Bay, who later went on to win the Super Bowl. Last night at Tampa, not close. Bucks went right down the field on their first possession. Giants did tie the game second quarter after intercepting Tom Brady. Turned out to be their only touchdown. It was scored by, of all people, offensive lineman Andrew Thomas. He had the best catch of the night for a Giant from Daniel Jones. But the Bucks scored the last 20 points, won 30-10. To end a two-game losing streak. Brady still hasn't lost three in a row in 19 years. He threw for two touchdowns. Jones threw two second-half interceptions. Joe Judge puts the blame on the coaching staff.
We got to do a better job putting our players in position to make plays. We have too many good players. You know, we got to put them in a better position to capitalize on it. That's it. We got to make sure, you know, we sit down tomorrow as a coaching staff and understand how we got to play this game and give our players a chance to make plays.
The Giants this Sunday host Philadelphia. The Jets visit Houston. Jets rookie running back Michael Carter won't play. Injured ankle. The Nets have the best record in the East. Come from behind. 117-112 win at Cleveland. Kevin Durant scored 27. James Harden had 14 assists. An unprecedented one-game suspension of LeBron James means he won't play for the Lakers tonight against the Knicks at the Garden. Detroit's Isaiah Stewart suspended two games. LeBron threw what the NBA called a reckless elbow at Stewart, who the NBA said escalated the altercation. Another Mets pitcher leaving for the LA Angels. First it was Noah Syndergaard, and now Aaron Loop, the lefty who had a sensational season coming out of the Met bullpen. 6-0, ERA of under 1. Loop had the lowest ERA of any reliever in the majors. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
Hi, Bloomberg's John Stashower. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street. It's time to take a look at stocks and some of the names that are moving in the pre-market. And for that, we are joined by Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent, Kriti Gupta. What do you have for us this Tuesday morning?
Well, good morning, John. It all starts and ends, it seems, with semiconductors really rallying here. A lot of this news comes out of Samsung Electronics, which decided to build an advanced U.S. chip plant in Texas in a win for the Biden administration as it pushes for greater semiconductor capacity on American soil. We do know that chip shortage is ongoing, so anything to help that is a big deal. And, of course, you're seeing that show up in the stock market. Micron Technology shares up 1.4%, ticker MU. Then you have Texas Instruments as well, ticker TXN. Those shares are up 1% in the pre-market, as well as Global Foundries, ticker GFS, shares up 1.4% there. Switching over to financials, the Financial Stability Board calling JP Morgan once again the world's most systematically important bank, with regulators recommending a higher capital bucket for the firm, as well as Goldman Sachs and BNP Paribas. JPM is the ticker for JP Morgan, up as much as 0.9% in the pre-market. You have Goldman Sachs up 0.3%. Yields also boosting the sector. You have Bank of America shares joining that rally, ticker BAC, shares up 0.4% in the pre-market. To the downside, though, you do have Zoom dropping, ticker ZM, shares falling 9% in the pre-market after new customer additions at the video communications company underwhelmed. Still, analysts saying there's largely positive due to outlook for small businesses and mobile app users. We'll see how that story unfolds. You also have Urban Outfitters taking a pretty big hit this morning, ticker URBN, shares down 12% in the pre-market. Even though the retailer beat expectations and its outlook was encouraging, analysts saying it's the supply chain disruption disruptions and margin pressures that weighed on the number, John.
Yeah, we also have government news moving the market, news from the U.S. government.
We do. The iSpecimen, which is a new company in my repertoire here, ticker ISPC, a company that connects researchers with specimen to work on, especially when it comes to COVID-19 research, climbing 97% in the pre-market after soaring on Monday as well. The move comes after they say they've been selected by the U.S. government and private researchers to supply biospecimens for the COVID-19 research. You also have On the analyst side, Navitas Semiconductor, NVTS, gaining 2.6% of the pre-market trading after Deutsche Bank initiated it with a buy rating, citing, quote, compelling growth potential. You also have Agilent falling 3.9% post-market, or excuse me, in the pre-market after their quarterly numbers. Jeffrey saying that despite a generally positive update, the shares could pair those recent gains after in-line 2022 guidance, John.
Hi, Kriti Gupta, our TV and radio markets correspondent. Thanks for joining us this morning. And as we look at futures ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, they've been bouncing all over the place this morning. Dow futures right now 1 point lower. S&P E-mini futures are down 5 points. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures, right now 55 points lower, down about 0.3%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Bloomberg weather for today, freeze warning, that remains in effect until 8 o'clock this morning. Today, partly to mostly sunny, the high temperature 40 to 45 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures pointing to the tech sell-off continuing. Let's head right over to the First Word Breaking News desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Nathan. U.S. futures are somewhat quiet right now, with Dow futures higher by 9 points. S&P's dropped 2. You mentioned NASDAQ. Those futures down 41. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.64%. Gold is down 9. Oil is also trading lower. And Bitcoin is little changed. Hong Kong fell 1.2% overnight, while European markets are also trading lower, led by 1% losses in Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, U.S. manufacturing PMI, and at 10 o'clock, the Richmond Fed. After the bell last night, Zoom reported shares are down 8% in the pre-market. And regarding earnings this morning, Medtronic was mixed and looked for Best Buy to report in the pre-market. Wrapping things up, Micron was raised to buy over at Mizuho, AbbVie raised to buy over at SocGen. Live from the First of Breaking News desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Nathan?
All right, Bill, thanks. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on the terminal, S-Q-U-A, go. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Jury deliberations are expected to begin in Brunswick, Georgia today in the trial of three white men accused of killing Ahmaud Arbery, who was black. A defense attorney called Arbery a recurring intruder. Prosecutors claim Arbery was targeted because of his race. A candlelight vigil was held last night in Waukesha, Wisconsin, after the driver of an SUV plowed into a Christmas parade Sunday, killing five and injuring dozens. Police say the suspected driver of the vehicle, 39-year-old Daryl Brooks, will be in court today. In Monday Night Football, the Bucks trounced the Giants 30-10. In the NBA, the Nets and Celtics won. The Wizards lost. The league has suspended the Lakers' LeBron James a game and the Pistons' Isaiah Stewart 2 games for their roles in an ugly tussle during Sunday's game in Detroit. It means James won't play tonight against the Knicks at the Garden. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Why a dangerous man was a safe Fed pick for Biden. I'm Brian Schapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. President Joe Biden, dogged by weakening public approval ratings and coming off a hard-fought battle to pass his new infrastructure law, didn't have to make his life more complicated with his pick to lead the Fed. That's precisely why he nominated current chair Jerome Powell to serve another term, while tapping Fed Governor Lael Brainard to succeed Richard Clarida as vice chair. Choosing the path of continuity and compromise was always going to be the safest and easiest route for Biden. Powell has won praise on both sides of the aisle, as well as from Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, for how he handled the economic fallout from the pandemic. Also, unlike Brainard, he doesn't have a background that veers into the political arena. there's every reason to expect he will win bipartisan confirmation. Biden had two paths. One was the safe pick. The other was a big political gamble for a relatively modest reward. He wisely chose the former, even if it took an agonizingly long time to reach the decision. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It's 6:50 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes industry-ready engineers in more than 20 fields. If it's engineering, it's at NJIT. More at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The latest coronavirus wave in the United States is taking its toll on some states' intensive care units. Several parts of the country are seeing outbreaks that are as bad as ever. In 15 states, patients with confirmed or suspected COVID are taking up more ICU beds than a year earlier. Winter tick infestation is common with moose across the northern U.S., and scientists say climate change could make it worse. Data collected over 19 years at Michigan's Isle Royale National Park show moose have more ticks during winters following particularly warm summers. According to a study published in the peer-reviewed journal Frontiers in Ecology and Evolution, the findings underscore the varied ways global warming can affect wildlife. And Amazon says it plans to cut the use of plastic packaging in Germany. That comes after complaints that the online retailer is contributing to growing mountains of waste. The company says its German logistics center will replace all single-use plastic packages with paper-based bags or cardboard boxes by the end of the year. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. John.
Nathan, thanks a lot. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:52 on Wall Street. And it's time now to check on what's going on in D.C. And some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden's picks of Jerome Powell and Lael Brainard as chair and vice chair of the Federal Reserve help him avoid a contentious Senate confirmation. The president also set to deliver a speech on the economy and combating inflation today, and the Biden administration considering whether to send help to Ukraine as Russian forces on that country's border pose the threat of invasion. Let's dig a little deeper into these stories this morning with Greg Valliere, the chief U.S. policy strategist at AGF Investment. Greg, always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us this morning. Powell and Brainard, a safe bet, and one of those rare times when Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill actually agree on something, or so it would seem.
Yeah, it is rare, John. Good morning. I do think that at least a dozen, maybe 20 Republicans will vote for Powell. There'll be a handful of Democrats like Elizabeth Warren who will not, but I think he'll easily win reconfirmation.
And how does this change the market calculus on rate hikes and tapering?
I don't think very much. I think a lot depends on data over the next few months. If the data still looks hot, if inflation still looks like a problem, maybe this tapering will be speeded up. Maybe they'll have their first rate hike in July. But that depends on data.
There are other openings on the Federal Open Market Committee, and there's also the question of the Fed Vice Chair for Regulation, and that, I suspect, is going to be a little more contentious. What's your read?
Yeah, I think that Elizabeth Warren will certainly be looking for a consolation prize, shall we say. So I think there will be pressure from her and the progressives. You know, one other really interesting angle, John, is I think that Joe Manchin, as he does on every issue, played a role. Joe Manchin said he wanted Powell, and I think anything Manchin wants, he gets.
Within reason.
Within reason, yes.
Or sometimes without reason.
Yeah.
Anyway, the president also said to deliver a speech on the economy combating inflation today. I don't know why I'm thinking about the whip inflation now button from the 70s, but for whatever reason I am, that enters my head this morning. What do you suppose the president could say?
Well, he could do more harm than good. If he starts bashing companies for price gouging or collusion, that may not go over too well. He may talk about taking oil out of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, that might knock the price of oil down by, 50 cents, not a lot. I don't think there's a heck of a lot he can do right now. This will run its course, and it's worth noting the price of oil has dropped lately, and there are signs that at ports like Long Beach and L.A., the logjam is starting to loosen.
Is this the president's Achilles heel as we enter into the midterms for next year?
Absolutely. And frankly, I think he has not been a great salesperson on all of this. I mean, we have a pretty strong economy. I think the unemployment rate could get to 4% by the end of the winter. GDP in this quarter is probably going to be 5%. He's got a strong argument to make, and he's got a great stock market. But I think by going back to inflation, he just goes to an area where he doesn't spin things very well.
Did you get the impression yesterday with the announcement about Powell and Lael Brainard that the president and the administration are ready to place the blame on the Federal Reserve and tell folks that this is their purview?
Absolutely. You know, if by midsummer it still looks like the Democrats will lose the House, might even lose the Senate, then I think they will cast a wide net for people to blame.
And in your opinion, your expert opinion, this is still transitory, or what's the market view on the price on the rate of inflation?
Well, John, you look at the Treasury 10-year bond yield, and it's still pretty remarkably low. So I don't think the market feels that this is going to be a persistent problem. Labor is different. I think labor inflation is with us. Commodities can go up, they can go down.
The last story I wanted to get to real quick, about 45 seconds, the administration considering whether to send help, advisors, and equipment to Ukraine. Is this going down the rabbit hole?
Yeah, you have to worry about that. I mean, Vladimir Putin got Crimea. He lusts after part of Ukraine. If he does move, I'm sure sanctions will be increased, and that could lead to problems with natural gas for Western Europe. But I think any kind of overt U.S. involvement is unlikely.
Greg, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investment. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest Bloomberg Radio in Washington. That's Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, Dow futures up 31. The S&P E-mini futures unchanged at this point, and the NASDAQ futures, they are 31 points higher. As Greg mentioned, 10-year yield 164 this morning. That's up slightly, up 2 basis points, a bit of a sell-off in treasuries. Also, the Turkish lira worth a look this morning, 9% lower, right now at 12.55. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Just ahead, Bloomberg Surveillance, Tom Keene, Lisa Bramowitz, and Kaylee Lyons sitting in for John Farrow today. For Nathan Hager, I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg.